Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Amen. Adrian, brother, you're out here somewhere. We love you, love your family. Celebrate God's grace in your life. Well, welcome again to FOS Sunday, a Sunday all about the amazing grace of God. Before we jump in today to Ephesians chapter 2, don't forget, this upcoming weekend is marriage coaching weekend at Pleasant Valley. Married folks, I want to encourage us to prioritize this weekend. Let's be at our coaching. Let's strengthen our marriages. Let's glorify God in doing so. If you're married and you're not part of our marriage ministry, we want to encourage you to do so. You can hop on our church website, learn more, and get plugged in right away. All right. Well, Ephesians chapter 2, I just want to look at a couple of verses. The Bible says, you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. This text teaches us two simple but very important things about the gospel. First, we are not saved by our good works, verse 9. And there's nothing we can do to help save ourselves, verse 8. Living a good life won't save us. Getting sober won't save us. Joining a church won't save us. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. Salvation is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. We, through our own good deeds, we cannot atone for our sins. Jesus already did that. Jesus has done everything that has to be done for us to be saved. We must now just receive it by faith, verse 8. You are saved, how? By grace through faith. Grace is God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God does not save those who help themselves. God saves those who cannot help ourselves. Nobody's going to be in heaven bragging about what we did to get there. The only reason any of us will be in heaven is by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. If God doesn't get us there freely by grace, we will not be there. Our salvation cost Jesus his life, but our salvation cost us nothing. It's totally free. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. But here's a common objection to this teaching about the free grace of God. It seems too good to be true. You mean Jesus saves with no strings attached? James, if we are not saved by our good works, but just grace, doesn't that mean it's okay for us to keep living in sin then? In Romans 6, Paul addresses this very question because historically, Christians have thought grace is too good to be true. Surely I have to do something to contribute to my route to heaven. So here's what Paul does in Romans 6. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Parents, should we encourage our kids to steal more cookies out of the cookie jar so we'll have a reason to show them more grace? Is that what the gospel means? Is it not that big of a deal to gossip, to envy, to look at porn, to drink too much, to have sex before I'm married, to take advantage of people in business, to flirt with that person at work I'm not married to? I mean, it's not that big of a deal, is it? I mean, doesn't our sin give God a chance to forgive us and show grace? Isn't sin not that big of a deal? Because God's going to forgive us anyway, isn't he? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? That's the question. Verse 2, the answer, by no means. It can literally be translated, may it never be. Other translators have said, God forbid. Or as we say back in Katy's where I grew up, heck no. We don't continue in sin that grace may abound. Verse 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, Christian, who died to sin, still live in it? So Paul says, once we become a Christian, it's not simply that we should not continue living on in sin. He says we cannot continue living on in sin because we have died to our sin. When Jesus died on the cross, the old us, Christian, died with him. And so we cannot live how we used to live because we are not who we used to be. We are new creatures in Jesus, and new creatures live like new. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, go back to that text. We, Christian, are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. When we are saved, God creates us into a new person in Jesus. We're born again in Christ. We are not who we used to be, 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature or a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Come, child of God, we are not perfect and we won't be perfect in this life, but we are not who we used to be. We've been made new by the blood of Jesus. We are righteous in Christ. We are new creatures in Jesus. We are saints in Christ, and saints don't take advantage of God's grace as an excuse to sin. One more verse, back to Romans 6, verse 6. We know, Christian, that our old self, that's who we were before Jesus, our old self was crucified with Christ in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. When Paul says our old body of sin, Christian, has been brought to nothing in verse 6, it doesn't mean our old sin nature is completely destroyed. But he means our old sin nature has been deeply wounded and deprived of its power. In other words, sin no longer has control over the person who is in Jesus. Sin is still resident in our life, but it can no longer be president in our life. If we're in Christ, sin is still on our team, but it can't be the quarterback any longer. It's coming off the bench, second, maybe third string. If we're in Jesus, sin is still in our menu, but it's no longer the main dish. If we're a Christian, sin is still in our car, but it's no longer in the driver's seat. It's been moved to the trunk. Now, if you're anything like me, you still got a lot of junk in the trunk, but that old sin nature is not driving us anymore. We're new. We have a new heart, new desires, the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we are not just old, dirty, rotten sinners saved by grace. We are new creatures in Jesus. And so we don't have to live how we used to live because we're not who we used to be. We are no longer slaves to sin. We've been set free, and whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. God's grace does not just forgive us of our sin. God's grace sets us free from the power of sin in Christ. We don't have to go on living in sin. From head to toe, from the inside out, the grace of God fundamentally changes us. How do you know if you've met Jesus? Have you been changed? Friends, we cannot meet Jesus and remain the same. And this is what I love about Friends of Sinners ministry. It's a ministry that since 2009 has been displaying the power of God to change lives, even as you just heard Adrian's testimony. And today in this service, we want to honor God's work through this ministry, and most importantly, give God all the glory as we highlight his grace. One of the great joys of this church has been to stand alongside Friends of Sinners for 16 years now. And there are a few things that warm my heart more every Sunday than to look out across our church and to see the men and women from FOS and their families as a part of this church body. And so on behalf of all of us at PVCC, Man, we just want to say to our FOS family, you are so deeply loved, and we cannot imagine this church without you. And I mean that from the very bottom of my heart. PBCC, would you join me in just showing our love and affection? At this time, I want to invite, it's my joy to bring up Jordan Wilson. Jordan serves as the executive director at Friends of Sinners. God bless you, brother. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, brother. Good morning, church family. I want to start by saying just simply thank you. On behalf of everyone at Friends of Sinners, thank you to Pleasant Valley Community Church for being more than just a supporter. This church is a true ministry partner. Isn't that right, FOS? This church doesn't just talk about reaching people. You actually do it. Thank you for your monthly giving. Thank you for hosting days like today, Friends of Sinners Sunday. Thank you for opening your doors, your hearts, and your resources to people who, in many cases, the world has given up on. What you've done and what you continue to do matters more than you might even realize. As many of you know, Friends of Sinners is on the front lines fighting a war on addiction in our community. Our goal is to introduce the clients that we serve to Jesus, and through that relationship, they find freedom and lasting sobriety. In 2025, we treated nearly 100 individuals. Over 40 of those individuals gave their life to Christ, and approximately 25 were water baptized. Isn't that amazing? If it wasn't for our ministry partners like Pleasant Valley, the work we do just wouldn't be possible. But I want to challenge you this morning, you as an individual, because what your church leadership is doing and has modeled, it deserves to be followed. It's one thing for the church as a whole to partner with the ministry. It's another thing for the community inside the church to say, I'm not just going to attend, I'm going to engage. So today I'm asking you to follow the lead of your church. If Pleasant Valley Community Church believes in this mission, then maybe God is calling you to step inside it personally. At Friends of Sinners, we are on the front lines of a very real war, a war that's not fought with carnal weapons, but supernatural ones, brokenness, addiction, hopelessness, and despair. Every single day, we encounter men and women who feel like they are just too far gone. People who have lost families, lost careers, lost their identity, and in many cases have lost hope. Addiction is not just a problem out there. It's in Owensboro. It's in our neighborhoods. It's in our families, and it's in our schools. And we have the opportunity right here in Owensboro at Pleasant Valley to do something about it. At Friends of Sinners, we don't just try to manage addiction. We believe in something much deeper. Our mission is simple. We lead people to Jesus. Amen? Because we believe that real transformation and lasting sobriety only comes through Him. It doesn't come through an insurance policy. It doesn't come through medically assisted treatment or temporary fixes, but true life change. As Scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we see it happen every day at Friends of Sinners. We see people go from addiction to freedom. We've seen people go from hopeless to purpose. That is what you are investing in. But here's the reality we have. We don't bill insurance. We don't have government contracts funding this work. Everything we do is fueled by generosity. By the people who say, you know what? I believe in this mission enough to support it. It costs $500,000 a year to operate Friends of Sinners. That's the cost of being on the front lines. That's the cost of housing, feeding, discipling, and walking daily with the people who are fighting for their lives. And that number, yes, it can feel really big until you realize what is at stake. Because we're not just talking about dollars, we're talking about lives, families, and eternity. So today I want to give you a very few simple ways you can respond. First, you can give. If you're not already giving monthly, I want to challenge you to start. Not out of pressure, but out of purpose. When you give, you become part of every story of transformation. You become part of every single life change. Second, you can serve. Some of you are called to step inside of this ministry. You know, my good friend, Karen Shelton, she's in here today. She is the lead of a letter writing ministry to where her and some people write letters to our clients who they may have never met, letters of encouragement. And I would encourage you, if you're interested in that, please meet with Karen Shelton. Some of you are called to volunteer. Some of you are called to teach a class, to sit across from someone and disciple them. And I'll be honest with you, that's not always easy, but I promise you it's worth it. Because when you look into the eyes of someone who is being changed, it changes you too. Third, you can advocate. Talk about Friends of Sinners. Share our mission. Bring people with you. Help others see what God is doing right here in this community. And last and most importantly, please pray. And I think that there's no explanation needed for that. Prayer is effective. Church, this is not just our mission. It's all of our mission, right? And what God is doing through Pleasant Valley at Friends of Sinners is something very special. Imagine what would happen if every person in this room said, you know what? I'm in. Imagine that impact. Imagine the amount of lives changed and the families restored. And I'll leave you with this. There are people in our city right now in Owensboro who feel like they are too far gone, too broken, and too lost. And they are waiting, whether they know it or not, for someone to step in and show them Jesus. We get to be those people. Church, thank you again for standing with us. And I want to invite you today, don't just support from a distance. Step into it. Let's continue fighting this battle together. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, join me, PVCC, in welcoming to the stage Jason's daughter, Taylor, and she is going to share God's work in her life. I want to pray for Taylor. Lord God, we just thank you for this amazing family. God, thank you for what you did in Jason's life. Lord, how you have rescued him and changed him. Lord, thank you how you used Taylor, his daughter, as a means of grace in his life and his grandkids and his mom. Lord, you have restored this family and we praise you. So God, bless Taylor now, God, as she shares her testimony. Lord, fill her with your Holy Spirit. Bless her and use her to bring glory to Jesus, in whose name we pray, amen.
Good morning. My name is Taylor Vineyard, and I've been coming to Pleasant Valley since 2011. The man in the video you just watched is my dad, Jason Statz. My dad was 17 when I was born, and he was living in full-blown addiction. Because of this, my mom decided that it was best to keep him out of my life. So most of my childhood, I grew up without knowing my real dad. My mom married someone else who raised me, and who I thought was my real dad. So for a while, I was shielded from the truth. When I was 11, my mimaw, my real dad's mom, introduced me to my real dad. I remember being confused and feeling angry. I had so many questions. Where had he been? What had he been doing? Why had my mom and my family lied to me my whole life? My dad did his best to explain to me my mom's reasoning, and it was here when we would start our relationship. For years, he would just kind of come in and out of my life as he was still struggling with addiction. One day, my kids and I were swimming at my mom's house, my dad's mom, and out of nowhere, my dad came walking up. We briefly talked, and then he left. My daughter, Chloe, was about 4 at the time, and she immediately started asking who that was. They had never seen him before. At first, I tried to just blow her off because I didn't really know how to explain it to them, but she was pretty persistent. So I finally answered, guys, that was my dad. She was shocked and she screamed, you have a dad? She had no clue. I remember wishing and praying that my dad would find the Lord. I wanted him to get sober and to be in mine and my kids' life. I so badly wanted a dad and wanted my kids to have a grandfather. In February of 2024, I felt led to invite him to church with us. I tried a few times, but he either didn't respond or he would say, "I just don't know, Taylor." I felt hopeless and my heart just broke for the life that I knew was possible for him. Little did I know, God was working on his plan for my dad, even though I couldn't see it yet. In July 2024, my dad was released from jail and ended up being admitted to the hospital for severe wounds on both his feet. He had literally immobilized. He was literally immobilized, and God was forcing him to be still. I truly believe God had him exactly where he wanted him and exactly where he needed to be. He reached out to me from the hospital and told me he was ready to change his life. He said he was done living the way that he'd been living as long as he could remember, and he mentioned Friends of Sinners. I had told him about Friends of Sinners before in hopes that he would consider it because I had seen God work through the program and change so many people's lives. I was so happy and hopeful and immediately gave him the contact information for FOS. Our prayers were answered and my dad was accepted into Friends of Sinners. By the grace of God and through Friends of Sinners and my dad's perseverance, today he has been clean and sober and living for Jesus since July 10th of 2024. Today, my kids and I have gotten to know the real him. We visit him often, and my kids always run to him with excitement, yelling, "Pepaw." They know who he is now. I have had the pleasure of watching my dad become a man of God and chase Jesus harder than he ever chased the life that he used to live. Now there's not a day that goes by that my dad doesn't text me. I no longer have to worry about him or wonder where he is or what he's doing. I recently had the absolute honor and joy of baptizing him here at Pleasant Valley. Because of Friends of Sinners, I got my dad back, my kids got their grandfather, my grandmother got her son back, and my family has gotten to experience true restoration. We are all so thankful and grateful for all God has done and continues to do through Friends of Sinners. Thank you.
Good morning, PVCC. I have the honor of, well, I'm Jessica. I am the Women's FOS Director, but I have the honor of introducing Shelby to you, who graduated a few years back. I looked at her while I'm like, wait, when did you graduate? Because Shelby never left Friends of Sinners. She moved out, but she still comes back. She sponsors and does all the things that we hope each of our graduates do. So I'm going to pray over Shelby and let her share her story. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift up Shelby to you right now, Father God. Lord, I thank you for her life. I thank you for her yes. And I thank you for allowing me and so many people to see her transformation through you, Father God. Lord, I just pray over her right now for comfort and peace. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to bless her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'm Shelby Patton. I had something completely different prepared until yesterday, and God said, "That's not what you're doing." So, scars. We all have them. Some of our scars are hidden, and some of them are not. Some are deeper than others, and some of our scars will fade over time while others remain. Whether or not you can see them, it doesn't mean that they aren't there. They are. You may not be able to see all my scars physically on my body, but I promise you that they are there. They are deep, they are ugly, and they are painful. But over time, I have come to realize that there is so much beauty in my scars. My scars hold a story of hope and a story of redemption. And they are daily reminders to me that I survived. I survived all the childhood trauma. I survived everything that was meant to destroy me. I survived a war. a war that should have taken my life. It's a war of good versus evil, of light versus darkness, and of life versus death. It was a war that took place inside my head, but it blackened my heart and tarnished my soul. It was a war that cost me my home, my family, my friends, my kids, and myself. But it was also a war that, when won, gave me new life and so much freedom. I was 24 years old when I used for the first time. The very first time I used, it was only to experiment and to fit in with the crowd I was hanging with. I remember telling myself, it's just going to be this one time. I got this. I'm not going to be one of those people. But the joke was on me. I quickly fell in love with the way it made me feel or not feel. My fears and insecurities seemed to go away. All the hurt and pain I ever felt was gone. Getting high became a coping mechanism. I utilized drugs to mask the pain I was feeling inside. I talked about a war. Well, that war has a name, and it's called addiction. You see, it's sneaky. You don't know you're in it until it already has you. You see, I fell in love instantly, but I thought I could control it. It lies. It makes you think you are in control while it completely dominates you. It took control over me before I knew it. It wasn't long before I started doing whatever it took in order to get high. I put myself, my kids, and my family in danger. It's a thief. It will rob everything you have and leave you with nothing. I remember my grandparents finally telling me that I had a problem and that I could get sober and live a life with my kids, or that I had to get out of their house. I packed a bag and I left. I spent 5 years of my life in and out of toxic relationships, being abused and treated like trash. A lot of that time is one big blur, but what I do remember is the shame and guilt of walking away from my kids. I remember looking in the mirror, not recognizing the girl that was looking back. I remember feeling empty. You see, pain has a way of branding itself on your mind, heart, and soul. To me, I lost everything that ever mattered, and I asked myself why I wasn't dead. I took a handful of pills, hoping that I wouldn't wake up. I remember waking up in the hospital being so angry with God that he just didn't let me die. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. I remember the first phone call that I called home, and my 11-year-old got on the phone, her voice cracking, and told me that she wasn't mad at me. She was just done. And that I had showed her someone that she didn't want to be like. Shortly after this, I found myself sitting in a jail cell. God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. It was in my darkest hour Jesus called my name. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry. Jonah 2:2. On December 27, 2021, I entered the doors at FOS. While I was there, I worked my steps and I learned the tools to help keep me sober. I wasn't the easiest client to deal with. And I was most definitely faking it till I can make it. If you have ever been told to fake it till you make it, that's garbage advice. Face it till you make it. Get up, work hard, fail, stand back up, face it again, do a little better, fail again, but most importantly, pray and lean on God. In step one, we learn that our secrets keep us sick. I said I wasn't the easiest client to deal with, but I got distracted towards the end of my program. I had a secret, and that secret kept me sick. I made other things my idols. I put my worth in other things instead of God. I stopped doing everything that I knew I needed to do. I started lying to myself and to everyone around me. One lie led to another that led to another, which just led to more. December, I relapsed. In a matter of one night, I lost everything. I lost my job, my apartment, and the trust of so many people around me. Matthew 18:12. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? That's what God did. He left the 99 for me. God brought me up out of that darkness fairly quickly. Since then, I have realized that nothing out there has changed. There's nothing that life has to offer me except a place in a jail cell or a coffin. I often look back on my life and wonder, why me? Why was I abused as a child and then again as an adult? Why did everything I go through happen? But what if it had to happen? What if everything life has thrown at me was supposed to happen to me because God knew I wouldn't move unless I was forced to? Maybe he saw parts that were way too comfortable, parts of me that were too afraid, parts of me that were too unwilling to let go of things. Maybe everything had to happen because he knew that without the breaking, I would never see the beauty of true surrender. All the pain I felt throughout the years felt cruel, felt unfair. But what if it was all mercy in disguise? So maybe everything had to happen, not because God is some cruel God and a God who just wanted me to suffer, but because he is a God who chose me and he wanted me to grow into who he always knew I could be. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. 1 Peter 5:10. For this light, momentarily affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. 2 Corinthians 4:17. That 11-year-old girl that told me that she wanted to be nothing like me is now the 15-year-old girl sitting right there who just recently told me that without a shadow of a doubt, I'm exactly who she wants to be like. Nobody can tell me that God won't move mountains. He won't make a way out of no way, and he won't restore what he first put together. Nobody can't tell me God isn't real. A God I can't see has pulled me out of the darkest places of my life. He met me where I was. He spoke to me. He moved things around me to let me know that he heard my cries. He shook my world. He saw me. He brought me a peace that I cannot find anywhere else, a peace that no drug or person could ever give me. And that's why I trust in him. You see, I had this hole in my heart that I tried to fill with people, drugs, relationships, my family, my children, and nothing worked. I called it a God-sized hole that is no longer there because today I have God in my life. And that is the most important thing that Friends of Sinners could have gave me. Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. There will be a time when your tears will fall, not because of your troubles, but because God has answered your prayers." I'm living in so many answered prayers right now. I'm 3 years sober. I work a job that I love on most days. I'm back home with my three beautiful children, being the mother God intended me to be. I sponsor ladies today. And I do my best to give back any way that I can. Guys, we live in a world that is ugly. We live in a world where it tells us that we are hated, insignificant, damaged, abandoned, useless, and forsaken. If you didn't get a single thing out of this, please get this. We are not what the world tells us. We are chosen. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. We are called as friends. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. John 15:15. We are his children. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Galatians 3:26. We are greatly loved, but God demonstrates his own love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. And we are free. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. John 8:36. Always remember, nobody is ever really too far gone, and there is never a broken too broken for God. Thank you.
Let's give everybody that spoke another round of applause and our people on the video. That takes a lot of courage, and we really appreciate that. So again, I'm Jessica Lee. I'm the program director for Friends of Sinners. And basically, we're going to give some thanks. First, thank you for allowing us to be up here and take time from you, Pastor Jameis, and just giving us the opportunity to speak on who we are and what we do. I had been on a women's retreat Friday night all the way up until yesterday evening. So I was like, I'm not going to write nothing down. And then I'm like, oh gosh, what am I going to talk about? And God said, what do you mean? What are you going to talk about? You've been there since 2011. You know exactly what you're going to talk about. What I'm going to talk about is, you know the one thing that's never changed at Friends of Sinners? Jesus and God. Our mission has been Jesus since day one, and it's still that mission today. So everybody that walks through our doors hears Jesus. It's not, hey, it's going to be okay. We're going to get you clean. We're going to send. No, that's not what I want. Matter of fact, you know what I tell my ladies most of the time? I don't care about your sobriety, but I care about your soul. Because I'd rather you be in heaven. Because I know if you got the Jesus and you're saved and you know where you're going, that's the sobriety is a byproduct of Jesus. We turn from that, just like the scriptures were talked about this morning. But I think Jordan's going to speak some more on this, but we do need your help, church. We need the help to keep our mission going. Everything that we do is through the community's donations that help us run. And that can be through anything. That could be, you want to come disciple one of my ladies. We love that. We want that because I love seeing ladies that you haven't even met yet say, hey, I really want to, you know, get involved. How can I get involved? I always say discipleship because that's more important for my ladies to have somebody out in this community that they can walk with to keep learning who Christ is. Second is through prayer. We always need prayers. Prayers work. That's one of our straight lifelines to God. We need that. Volunteering, like Jordan already said. We love volunteers. Miss Debbie Hudson volunteers with us every week. And then we also need the donations. And we made it easy. We made it real easy. You can go to our website. You can scan the QR code. You can even go out in the lobby and get on the, what's that thing called? The iPad. And just set it up. It's real easy. but I was thinking, I told Jordan the other day, I was like, man, if we could get into these churches and if everybody did $5 a month, $5 a month. I know we go to Starbucks and Seven Brew and to all the restaurants every week for more than that. So I say all that to say, first and foremost, thank you, because PVCC has been a part of Friends of Sinners since the very beginning. And they've always been a staple with us, and we absolutely appreciate that. And then secondly, thank you for allowing us again to be here to share our hearts, our vision, and what we get to witness every day. You are getting a glimpse of that too. So I'll let you talk.
I just want to kind of, yeah, praise God. You know, a couple of years ago, my family and I, we were looking for a church. And we chose Pleasant Valley Community Church as my home church, my family church, because of you put your, like you walk out what you taught, right? And so I wanted to be a part of that. Pleasant Valley is one of the greatest supporters of Friends of Sinners, and that moved me to join my family in coming to this church. But out there, we're selling t-shirts, our girls are selling baked goods, we have sign-up sheets. If you want to sign up just to stay in touch, if you want to learn what's going on at Friends of Sinners and write down your number and your email, we'll send you updates in our newsletter. You can sign up for that. If you want to become a monthly donor, you can scan the QR code right there. You can also, you know, if you don't want to today, you can sign the I want to become a monthly donor sign up sheet and we'll reach out to you and you can land on whatever you want to give. And then you can also sign up to become a volunteer. And there's any type of way you want to volunteer, if you want to drive our clients places, if you want to answer phones, write letters, do one-on-ones with clients, there's endless ways that you can partner with Friends of Sinners. But lastly, just thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for giving. Thank you for believing. And thank you for praying. God bless you.
Well, hey, before we go home today, we want to have a special time of prayer over all of our FOS family. So let's stand together. I want to invite all of our FOS family, if you all would, to come forward, clients, staff, family of clients. And so what we want to do is I want to read a blessing over you from Numbers chapter number 6. And then we're going to pray, and then our worship team is going to sing the scripture over our FOS family, this song called The Blessing. We'd ask you all to sing with us. And I love some of our PBCC family. Would you all come down as well? Let's just lay hands on our FOS family. Let's bless them that they would feel the love of the Lord. If some of you all would come forward during this time, let's do that. Let's bow our heads together. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So Father, in Jesus' name, we pray your word over our dear FOS family. God, would you bless them and keep them? Lord, would you make your face to shine upon them? Would you be gracious to them? Lord, would you turn your face towards them and give them peace? Lord, for every current client, Lord, for every previous client, God, in Jesus' name, for their spouses, their children, their grandchildren, their parents, their siblings, Lord, may every man and woman that has been or will be or is currently affiliated with this ministry, would you bless them and keep them and hold them in Jesus. Lord, we, in Jesus' name, we pray against relapse. God, we pray against falling back into the ways of the world. Lord, hold them, keep them, protect them. God, any families that still need to be restored, would you restore those families? God, we pray you would continue to do miracles, bless this ministry, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Church family, would you sing with us at this time? God's blessing over our families.
Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.